Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
And good morning. Wake up. We have coffee and cookies. Y'all are welcome to come and join us. We're so glad that you're here, and we're glad to be a part of doing church the best way we can right now. I don't know about y'all. We'll try to get the word out, but I'm hopeful that next week maybe we'll be inside. I don't know. Don't boo me or honk at me, but we'll see what we can do. If not, we're just gonna keep on doing what we can do. Amen. That's right. I don't know if that, when I say instead of amen, I should say honk your horn. Be all like, woo. Hey, well, let's pray and have an awesome time. Remember, just because you're in the car, that don't mean you don't sing. What it means is, like the shower, you sing even better than you did before. You know, because when you're in the car, you're a superstar. When you're in the car, you're a rock star. So sing it out to the Lord. Remember, we're singing for an audience of one. I should only hold up one finger when I do that. And, you know, we're the choir. God's the audience. Let's go ahead and pray together and lift his name up. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to praise you and worship you and to pray and to preach, all part of what's essential about church. Lord, you're the Lord over all. You're not taken by surprise. You're in control. You know when we're supposed to gather up in the church building again. Furthermore, you know when you're going to gather us up in the sky. And you're not going to ask permission. You're just going to come get us. And so, Father, we're yours. Do with us as you will. And as we praise, just be glorified. Father, we love you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
All right, I got some scripture for us this morning. This was Paul's prayer to the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians 1, starting in verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. And that's our hope this morning, that we sit out here in the sunshine in the parking lot. We have the privilege to praise Jesus and have our eyes open to the hope that is only found in him.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
many times in Scripture, God's Holy Spirit comes in like a rushing wind. We don't care that our music is blowing around all over the place. God is with us, just as He promised. Amen? He is our hope, and it is in Him alone that we have faith. Him alone that we have peace. Him alone that we find salvation. And He is so much more and so much better than we could ever hope. And praise God, we get to worship Him today.
Yeah. till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ we stand. Here in the power of Christ we stand.
It's Peter writes to us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his mercy caused us to be born again to a living hope that is found in the resurrection of Christ our Lord. Everything that we sing about, everything that we pray about, everything that we read about gives us hope that is found in Jesus, because we know there ain't no hope outside of him. And one more song before the message. Prepare your hearts to hear from God's word. Pray that the Holy Spirit will move upon you and speak by his power through the preaching and reading of his word. How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. Desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is
side.
Hey, y'all. Oops, I broke it. We're going to try. There we go. Can you hear me now? All right. Hey, we're going to be in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. We're continuing the prayer that Jesus prayed before he was crucified. We're going to continue to look at the idea of Jesus being our pastor. I know it sounds weird to us, but I promise, if Jesus is not your pastor, you're in trouble. Ain't nobody can get you out of that trouble either, except for Jesus being your pastor. The word pastor and the word shepherd are the same words. The idea of Jesus being your shepherd means that he's your pastor. He's the one who's taking care of you. He's the one who feeds and leads and protects. Man, you want to talk about spiritual life and spiritual warfare and spiritual growth? No one can make you grow and protect you like Jesus Christ can. There is no one like Jesus. Amen? That's what I'm talking about. Hey, I'm never going to get used to that. I think that's so funny. Y'all, we're going to talk about this. You know, we're going to talk about the times when the churches met together in parking lots and honked every time something sounded good and flashed their lights. I almost kind of missed the umbrellas. You know, for the last couple of weeks, we had the umbrellas out, and y'all were looking colorful, especially, you know, Everett had theirs poked through the sunroof, you know, and it was just, you know, it was just sharp, man. Y'all are sharp. That, you know, praise God, before we get started, for everybody and all that they're doing, it's a tough time in our country and our culture for everybody, you know, but there's people going above and beyond, and it's just, man, I'm glad. You know, some of that means just staying at home. Some of that means not doing all you would. Some of it means doing extra. You know, Kim was playing the piano, but man, she's having to work extra. You know, she's just bouncing in between like breaks. We have healthcare workers with us here today. We got all kind of folks. I just want to say thank you. We have folks who are hoping and praying that they have a job next week. We have folks who have been pay cut. We have folks who have collected unemployment. We have all kind of folks. Man, I just want to say praise God for everybody. Man, God is the God for everybody. There ain't but one God, one hope, one calling, one head over the church. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, man. He's everything. And so I just want to say thanks to him and everybody who's gathered. We're going to read John chapter 17, talking about Jesus being our great pastor. And I'm going to start in verse 17 and go to the end of the chapter. Y'all read with me. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, and that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let's pray together. Father God, having heard your word, I pray now, Lord, that you'd just secure us, work through us, draw us closer to yourself. For the one who is still riding the fence, not sure if they're trusting Jesus or not,
I pray that this morning they would settle that. I pray that this morning folks would trust Jesus Christ with their life, that they would lay down their life in your hands, allowing you to be the shepherd over their soul, allowing you to do the work that only you can do in a life to make us born again, to make us alive, to make us to pass from death into life. Father, these are the things that you alone can do. Feed us and lead us and protect us from the evil one. Lord, there's none like you. And so we're asking you do a work in our life as our great pastor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all, amen. Hey, you know what's most humbling? You ever think about, I can imagine standing as a baseball player or something like that, maybe standing next to one of the great baseball players of all time and thinking to yourself, oh man, I'm no good compared to them, you know? I was talking to a buddy of mine from the Foundry Church named Bill. I said, Bill, now Bill's a carpenter. I said, Bill, who's the best carpenter you ever met? And he told me who it was, and he talked about how much he knew, and he said, that guy hired him on when he was just 17 years old, fresh out of high school. He said, man, that guy had so much patience, you know, just to teach him and to be with him. He said later on in life, when he had hired some 17-year-olds himself and had his own company, he called that man back. And he said, I just want to tell you I'm sorry. I just want to apologize to you. I just want to say thank you for putting up with me, because it's not very easy. You know, it got me thinking about, you know, I was a wrestler and I had a great wrestling coach. But he weighed about 180 pounds and he had to wrestle me. I was the heavyweight. We just didn't have any other heavyweights. And I remember later on in life calling him and saying, man, I'm sorry. You know, we used to buy him a jar of Tylenol, extra strength Tylenol pills for Christmas, and just help him out. But I remember just the patience that he had, you know. And after my kids started jumping on me and tearing on me, I remember thinking, golly, this guy had his own children. And then he came to school and let a big old dude just beat on him and stuff like that, try to practice, you know, and it was something else, man. I called him up and said, man, I'm sorry. I had a preacher friend of mine give me some opportunity to preach and serve at the Emmaus camp. His name's Wayne Hudson, and Wayne would say, come on out and serve with me. And y'all who know the Emmaus stuff, it starts on Thursday and it ends on Sunday. But I used to go out there and be like, well, I ain't going to come out to this. I won't be there Friday for half a day. I won't be here for this and that. And I know that had to drive them crazy, because after I became a spiritual director, I'd invite preachers to come out and say, oh, I won't be here and I won't be there. And I'd go, oh. So I had to call Wayne back up and say, Wayne, I'm sorry, brother, man. I'm sorry for I didn't get it. I didn't know. You know, I've had a lot of talks with my mom. Telling my mom, she told me this morning, she was trying to get my senior pictures taken. And she wanted so many different kind of pictures. And I argued with her the whole way. She told me she wanted me to have one outfit and then change into another outfit. And I told her to jump in a lake. And she said she'd beat me down. And I believed her, and I know she could. So I let her take whatever pictures, you know, they took. And but I told her today, I'm sorry I've given you such a hard time. But in this passage of Scripture, it describes the best pastor in the world. You know, it describes Jesus Christ as he takes care of his sheep, as he goes ahead of them, how he sets the example, how he prays for them, how he literally empowers them to be successful in their mission. And I think about myself as a pastor, and it makes me want to get on the phone and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. And I'm sorry. And if it wasn't for the fact that I got to just preach him and point you to him and not tell you that I need to be your pastor, but to tell you that he needs to be your pastor. If it wasn't for that fact, there wouldn't be no reason for me to stand here. I'd just say, oh man, I quit. But you know what? It's worth it to stand up here, even in all my inadequacies and all my faults, character flaws and failures. It's worth it for me to stand up here, not to point to myself, but to point to Jesus Christ and tell you all, he will accept you if you come. He will be your pastor. Yeah, he'll shepherd you from now to eternity. Man, he loves us like that. He loves us and he's never going to quit on us. Y'all listen. When I look at this passage of Scripture, I'm reminded of two major themes that we find in the Scripture. We find in the New Testament. We were forced, when we went to Camp McCain, starting in 2018, we had the opportunity to go to Camp McCain and lead a chapel service. We only got a limited amount of time, a short amount of time, and we're going to sing and pray and preach the Word. And it caused us to say, what should we say? What themes can stick out? What is the major meaning of the gospel that we preach so that we can distill that and give it to these men and women who serve our country in a short period of time? And those two themes that came out were this: God wants everybody to be saved, and God wants everybody who is saved to grow in their salvation. Yeah. And that growth, the process of growing in salvation, is called sanctification. Now, if you hear that word, that's right where we started off reading. Jesus said, sanctify them. He was praying to the Father, and he said, sanctify them. In Jesus' prayer, we find him describing salvation early on. Over there in verse 3 of chapter 17, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Man, that's what it means to be saved. To have a personal, loving, passionate relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not all the things you do. It's not the accumulation of your good thoughts. It's not the accumulation of your money or all the times you've been to church. It's having a personal, passionate, living, loving relationship with Jesus Christ. The other great theme in this prayer is the sanctification, that we would grow in our salvation. So, y'all, this passage that we're going to preach, it has a lot of practical stuff for us. We're looking at Jesus, but we're looking at the process that he took for us to grow. So if you have your notes, you can look at them. They're on my Facebook page. If you don't have them, you can look at them later. The first one is that Jesus plans our sanctification. Rather, he leads our sanctification. When we think about spiritually growing, y'all know that you're going to have to pray, right? We look at Jesus. Jesus prayed for our spiritual growth. Jesus prayed to the Father. And to me, there's an urgency in it. The verb is really in the imperative. He says, sanctify them, Father. Grow them up. Lord, help them out. Make them strong. Make them mature. I died for them right where they are, but not for them to stay right where they are. For them to grow. And so Jesus is praying to the Father for our spiritual growth. Y'all want y'all to know that. Jesus is praying for our spiritual growth. Jesus is imploring the Father that you and I will grow. I don't know about y'all, but that hits me, but it also reminds me, makes me think, man, have I been praying for y'all to grow? Have I been praying for your sanctification? Have I been praying in light of my own sanctification? Do I just pray to get by? Lord, thank you for my meal. Lord, thank you that you woke me up. Lord, thank you for this group gathered here. Thank you for this. But am I praying, Lord, make me the man that you'd have me to be. Take away the things that don't belong. Add the things that I'm lacking. Make me a vessel worthy of your honor that I might be about your business. And then am I praying that for y'all? Are you praying that for each other? Father, help us to grow. Can you imagine any kind of spiritual growth without prayer? How can we grow in a relationship with anybody if we didn't talk to them? Man, if you don't talk to somebody, your relationship is just, it's thin. It's thin, thin, thin. That's the way we are. We need to communicate with each other. We need to talk to each other if we're going to have relation. It's the same with God. And Jesus steps further. Not only do we need to be praying about our sanctification, praying for our spiritual growth, but he shows us the nourishment. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Y'all, the way we grow spiritually is that we feed on the word of God. We get into it. Man, we feast upon it. Do you know how blessed we are? If you can hold a Bible in your hand, translate it into your own language that you can understand, do you know that you're blessed? Do you know that you've been given an expensive gift that people have paid for with their lives? Man, you know that to get it in the English language, people died to get the Bible in English language. Do you know people are dying to get Bibles to people where their government has tried to forbid to have Bibles? Man, if you have the Word of God at your disposal, you have what you need to supply all the spiritual nourishment that you need to grow. You know, if we don't feed our kids, they won't grow. Of course, you can tell my mom, if you feed your kids too much, they'll grow too much. But that's not the way it is on the Word. Man, you can overeat on it. You can stick your face all up in it like a pie-eating contest and just, you know, get it. Get you some. You know, you're not going to gluttonize on the Word. The Word of God, you can eat and not get fat. There ain't no calories. It's all spiritual protein for spiritual muscle. It's good for you. It's good for me. Amen. Whoever honked. I see that hand. And man, it's, y'all listen, we need that. I remember, and this is to my own shame, I remember being hungrier for the Word than what I am right now. I remember when I first got saved. Man, they sat down, they explained the gospel of Jesus Christ to me. I had heard it before. Probably, I couldn't remember. I honestly can't remember. But I don't think it was the fault of people not telling me so much as it was the fault of me not listening so much. It was me not being ready. It was me not like having my ears closed off, saying, I ain't going to hear you. I'm not going to listen. But then when I listened and I got saved, I had a hunger for the Word of God. And I got into it, man. I had all kind of time. I was single. I had a part-time job. I was a real winner. And living in my mama's basement. No, I'm just kidding. My mom didn't have a basement. And so, I was just going, but I would leave work. I'd go to a coffee shop. For y'all here in Mississippi, that's a place where they sell coffee. And they have couches. And they let you sit there all day drinking coffee. And it's wonderful. And I would sit there all day, and I'd read the Bible. And I remember one time I was reading it, and all of a sudden I started hearing about this guy, this young guy. This is a teenage boy. And he come out to this place where they was about to have war. And the nation of Israel was stacked up on this one side of the mountain. And the Philistine army was stacked up on the other side of the army, of the valley on this other mountain. And this big old dude come down. His name was Goliath. And he started yelling at the nation of Israel, "I defy you to come down here. I'll whoop all you." Reminded me of Mr. T. "I pity the fool who comes down here." All Israel was shaking in their boots, man. They were scared to death. All of a sudden, this young dude says, "Why haven't you all shut that fool up yet? How come ain't nobody went and busted that dude's jaw? How come you ain't shut him up in the name of the Lord?" And they're like, "Are you crazy? He's a big man." He's like, "I don't care. We got a big God." Now, this is the Big John version of that story. And I remember telling all these dudes who I was in, we had a men's group, and I'm telling all these guys, I'm like, and I just kept telling, I said, "Then, dude runs down there, man. He ain't got a sword, he ain't got a spear, and the giant says, 'Come on, man, I'm going to cut your head off and feed you to the birds.' And dude says, 'Uh-uh, I'm going to cut your head off, and I'm going to feed you to the birds.' And he's like, 'All right,' and all of a sudden he goes, bam, boom, dong. Then he goes and he takes his sword and he cuts his head off with his own sword and feeds him to the birds. And you know what the point of the whole story was? That the world might know that there's a God in Israel. Y'all, woo! You get in the Word of God and all of a sudden you start getting a little boldness like what David had. You start getting fired up. But I remember I went and told those old guys, because I didn't go to Sunday school. I didn't go to catechism. I didn't go to VBS. I didn't know all that story. I'm like, "Did y'all know that that story was in the Bible?" And they're like, "John, that's David and Goliath." I'm like, "Yeah, but did you know it was in the Bible?" You know, I thought it was just a sports story. I thought it was just some kind of myth or legend. But man, it was in the Word of God. And I was so fired up to find it. And if they were Southerners, they would have said, "Bless your pea-picking heart." Instead, they just looked at me in their Yankee tone and said, "You an idiot." But you know what? I was an idiot feeding on the Word of God, and it's made all the difference. Y'all, if you're going to grow in your salvation, you need to get hungry for the Word of God. There's a lot of stuff you can read. There's a lot of stuff you can do for your own health, for mental health, emotional health, physical health. But there is nothing that will ever substitute getting in the Word of God for yourself. Get into it. Read it. Eat it. Pray for each other that we'll get a fascination, that our hunger will be rekindled for the Word of God. We'll get hungry for it. Lastly, on that idea of sanctification, Jesus leads the way. Jesus leads by example. This is such a strange saying that he says in verse 19. He says, "For their sake, I sanctify myself." Can I tell you something? Jesus didn't just die for you. He also lived for you. He still lives for you. He has gone through the process of being set apart by God so that you and I can follow him to that place of holy living, that we can follow him to that place of fruitful service, that we can follow him to the place God always intended his people to be. It's not a pipe dream. It's not a religious, you know, happy idea that will never take place. Jesus Christ went there so that we could follow him there. He sanctified himself that we might follow in his footsteps. He sanctified himself that we might imitate him. He sanctified himself so we could see what it means to live for God. And y'all, that's on us. That's for us. He did it for you and for me. When I think of myself as a pastor, I think, oh my gosh, how I have fallen short of sanctifying myself that other people may see. I'm so glad, though, it ain't about me. It ain't ever been about me. It's not about pointing at me, but saying, look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's follow him. Let's pursue him. Let's seek him out. Let's find him. He's the goal of our sanctification anyway. All the goals, the goal in the Bible about spiritual growth is not that you become like one of the great authors or pastors of our time. It's not that you become like Paul Washer or Jackie Chan. Is it Jackie Chan or Francis Chan? Neither one of the Chan brothers. John Piper or John MacArthur or Billy Graham or Graham Cracker. It don't matter who it is. The goal of spiritual growth is to become more and more and more like Jesus Christ. We follow him. We follow him and him alone. He is our Lord, our God, our shepherd. You know, we follow him. He's not driving us on. He's leading us on. We look to him and we follow the Lord Jesus. Not only is he preparing us for a relationship with God, to walk with God in holiness. Y'all, growing in our salvation means taking on our mission. Taking on our mission. You know, in this passage, when he talks about growing, being sanctified in the Word, he also talks about being sent out into the world. These are not separate issues. We got some people in the evangelism camp that say, we got to go out in the world, we got to go out in the world. And we got other people in the discipleship camp saying, we got to grow in the Lord, we got to grow in the Lord. What's the truth? The truth is both. We got to go out in the world and we got to grow in the Lord. Man, I praise God for Gary Heim, who had been discipled at Friendship Baptist Church in Lincoln Park, Michigan, to the point where he could share the gospel with a lost dude like me that I might get saved. Man, he discipled himself right into a mission. He discipled himself right into evangelism. Any kind of discipleship that didn't result from evangelism. In other words, if you didn't get saved first and you're just trying to be a disciple, man, that's no good. Y'all say hi to Keith. That's Keith right there. Papa. Hey, Keith, we love you, man. If you claim to be a disciple but you're not a convert first, you're not a disciple at all. Evangelism had to take place. You had to give your life to Christ. You aren't born a Christian. You're born again a Christian. And that happens through the Word of God. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Man, that's how we are brought forth. We're brought forth by God, and we grow. We become a disciple, and we share the gospel with somebody else, and then they get saved, and they grow and become a disciple. If you claim to be a disciple, but that discipleship didn't start with you being evangelized, I have a question. You know what? Whose disciple are you? What are you doing as a disciple if you're not saved and born again? But if you've been saved and born again and you're growing as a disciple, then you ought to be getting back into evangelism. You know, we're not here to see who's the smartest. It's as if Christians are having some kind of contest with themselves. What denomination can be closest to the truth? What? Who cares? Ain't one denomination saved. Not one. Not one. Not one of them is sacred. Not one of them is holy. Not one of them is anything except for a group of people trying to organize preferences, traditions, and obedience to God together. It's just the name of a team. Denominations aren't saved. People are saved. Human beings are saved. Ain't no denomination. Be a saved human being growing in the Lord to the point which you take the gospel out to other human beings who need to be saved by the Lord. It ain't about trying to compete with whose theology's tougher, better, or whatever. Cut it out. We're supposed to be one, that we can get this word out, that we can get the word about Jesus Christ out there. There ought to be no division and fighting amongst Christian people. Y'all get that? Man, if we don't get that, we're in so much trouble. See, when Jesus sent us out on the mission, he had a way. He said, "The way Father, you sent me out, now I send them out." You know, that was the pattern. Jesus had a prayer for our mission. He prayed that the people who hear our testimony and hear the proclamation of the gospel would get saved, that they would believe. That's in verse 20. He says, "I don't pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me because of their word." You know, we need to get the word out. But he also had a method for us to follow. You know, the method isn't about fancy technology. It's not about buildings. It's not about programs. It's about the people of God loving one another as Christ has loved us. It's about the people of God being one, being unified, being together. Look in chapter 17. Look at verse 21. Look at verse 22. Look at verse 23. That we might be together. To what end? What's the point? When we come together, when our voice is united in Christ and with one another, it says the world will believe that God sent Jesus into the world. Man, when we come together in love, people will believe that we are his disciples. When we come together in unity, they will believe that Jesus Christ is the one sent from God. And when they believe that, they start getting saved. I don't know about y'all. Yeah, amen. Honk it up a bit. Or don't. It's okay. And so, hey, I feel weird about being a pastor like, hey, man, honk that horn. You know what I mean? Come on, man. We're going to honk that. Okay, listen. I was sitting in the world, lost as a goose. Man, didn't have no previous training, had no idea about God, was forming my own habits, hurts, and hang-ups, was developing into, you know, whatever kind of addiction had my attention at the time. And then somebody shared the gospel with me, and I was in the world. I got saved out of the world. I got brought into the kingdom of God. I was translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the Son whom the Father loves. Man, that's what happened to me. And you know, I know other people in the world who haven't accepted Christ yet. Y'all, we don't got no time to rest. Man, the mission of Jesus Christ is that we would, with a unified voice, with a love that is like his, show people who Jesus really is in this world that they might be saved. Because when somebody comes to believe, like I did, that Jesus Christ is the one sent from God, all of a sudden you start listening to his word and you get saved. You get born again through the power of God. There's a lot of folks who need to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, even right here in Grenada, Mississippi. We've had people come to this very church as teenagers who had never been to another church in their life. You know that idea that, well, this is the Bible Belt and everybody knows about God and everybody's saved? That is not an idea that came from God. That is not an idea that carries with it the weight of truth. The truth is, people need to hear the gospel, and they need to hear it here, and they need to hear it from us, and they need to see us join together in a unified voice. It's our mission, man. It's the mission He's given us. Jesus is still the leader of it. He's the one praying for it. He's the one who died for it. He's the one who's living to make it happen. It's through His Spirit that the words that He's given us take hold in somebody's heart. It was the Spirit of God that indicated the truth of the gospel on the night that I believed so that I might be saved. There are people who need to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the living Lord, and that by believing in His name, they can have eternal life and be a part of the family of God. Y'all, Jesus is our great shepherd, our pastor. And one day we'll be able to say with Him, with all confidence, there's one flock and there's one shepherd. Jesus is over all. Glory to God. And thank Him that He saved us. And if you need to be saved, if you're gathered here and you need to be saved, just ask God to save you. You don't need fancy words. We don't need formulas. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that there is no hope for you outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask for His mercy, receive His grace, and be born again. Man, if you're on the fence thinking, I don't know, well, stop. You ain't getting no points because you think you're smart being agnostic. That ain't getting you nowhere. Stop doubting and believe. That's what Jesus Christ told Thomas. Stop doubting and believe. Come on, man. He wants to be your pastor. He wants to feed, lead, and protect you forevermore. And there's nobody like Jesus. No one like Him. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity we have. I pray right now, Lord, as we sing this last song, if there's anybody out there who needs to know You, if they need to put their faith in You, Father, they would take this opportunity. They would come clean about who they are. They would come to realize who You are. They would see how small they are in comparison to You, as I've felt this whole time giving this sermon. So small in comparison to You that, Father, I pray they would yield their whole life to You. Father, for me too, I pray that. Lord, we love You and we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shame is a prison, as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Oh, love is my redeemer, lifted.
walk out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walk out of the grave I'm walking to.
Oh, if you walk out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walk out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walk out of the grave I'm walking to. Oh, Jesus, if you walk out of the grave I'm walking to.
Man, hey, if that don't get you fired up right there, man, y'all listen. Church, our message that Jesus Christ came alive from the dead, man, we follow him. We live in that resurrection power, amen? Man, when we hear about the resurrection, we ought to get fired up. Man, we ought to get fired up. Anyways, look, we love y'all, and we'll keep you updated on what we're going to do and how we're going to have church. We're going to have church however we can. We're just going to keep on doing it. But we love y'all. God bless y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Ready. Break.